You're going to say I'm Protestant, and Protestant is just the carrying out of a word, Protestant. There are things that we protested as people who have read the Bible for ourselves and found that it doesn't line up with some traditions of men. And it's really important that Protestants continue to protest what's wrong. Can you say amen? Because wrong is still wrong, right is still right, truth is still truth. And I'm glad for the truth that I know, because there's not 100 different ways to God. But if there was, this would still be the best way. Can you say amen? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, but thine for? There's a scripture in Hebrews 10 and verse 23 that says, hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And it's an important scripture, because the Bible said if we are ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed before us, before the Father and his angels. But if we confess him before men publicly, amen, that he will confess us before the Father and his angels. The Bible said with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can't be an undercover Christian. Say that loud again. We're all Christians in here. It's okay. No one's going to look at you funny. Amen. Praise God. You can't be one of those Secret Service undercover saints. You have to take the heat of identifying with Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's okay. It identifies you with him. The Bible said they overcame the accuser of the brethren, the devil, in Revelation 12 by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Can you say amen? So being able to give a testimony, to espouse the true faith. I've seen this thing chopped up and pulled out of the context of the book of Hebrews. They were under great pressure from the culture they were in that time, to compromise their faith. But they didn't, hallelujah. And Paul was encouraging them, be very bold, amen. Stand on what you know to be true. Don't be intimidated by the religious world around you that rejects Christianity. Stand true. Hold fast your profession, which is another word for confession. It is actually interpreted your confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful. In other words, you be faithful to God, God is certainly going to keep his promises to you. Can you say amen? That's so incredible. But we've kind of chopped that up and used it a way to put ourselves in the God class. And if we just hold fast our confession, we'll get what we want from God. This is not about getting what you want. This is about acknowledging what you have. Can you say, man, what he has done for you at Calvary? Never be ashamed of the cross. Now, here's the thing that I want to zero in on tonight. The Bible said, how shall they believe upon him of whom they have never heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he go except he be sent? Initially, you just see pulpit ministers or evangelists, particularly evangelists, being sent to tell people who don't know Christ about him. But the Bible went on to say that to everyone, every child of God, to all of us, regardless of the reverend part or the pastor or evangelist part, to every Christian, every child of God, to every one of us is given the ministry of reconciliation. Can you say amen? Because the message of the cross that you know, every one of you that are saved, to the world is foolishness. The preaching of the cross to us who are saved, it is the very power of God. Can you say amen? And to every one of us is given the ministry of reconciliation. That means if we tell people what he has done for them at the cross, we can be used by God to see people come to know Jesus and thereby be reconciled to God. Can you say amen? God, it's such a powerful thing. I want to read something William Booth said before we have this song and then this testimony tonight. Amen. We're going to get a different kind of Christian is going to emerge after a while. One that sees themselves as highly qualified and capable of being an effective witness for Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Venable, I talk and they don't listen. Well, keep on talking. It's not even about whether they listen right now or not. It's whether someone has sown some seed for somebody else to water. And the important thing is, it's not Paul said it, you know, who is Paul? I mean, he declassified himself. Sure, he was to be reverend. He's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when people started putting him on a pedestal and following him and really saying, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul. He said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? One plants, another waters. God gives the increase. Can you say amen? I'm looking at people tonight that need your heart cleansed. I'm looking at people tonight that need the joy of Jesus back so you can have an effective witness. I'm looking at people tonight that need to commit things and people to him. And I looked at a guy in the mirror before service, too, that needs the same things tonight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But I know God wants to do these things in our life. I want to be an effective witness. I want to be instant in season, out of season, and being ready at the drop of a hat, Brother Taylor, to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in me. They're not going to be open to hear that unless they see it. It has to be something realized in me, praise God. And then they'll listen. It's not how much I know about the Bible. It's how much of what I know I'm applying to my personal walk with God. Can you say amen? So a group of people are coming along that are going to be different. And here's why we need the difference. This is a report, a Gallup poll. Gallup is a highly recognized pollster. Here's what he found, that the majority of Americans, and I quote, say religion is very important to them. 7 out of 10 Americans are church members. Isn't that incredible? You wouldn't know that when you go out to work and you're around people. And anyway, 2/3 of Americans, however, hold the view that the level of ethics in America has declined during the last decade. There is a seeming paradox between the loss of ethics and the increase in church interest. Very little difference is found in the behavior of the churched and the unchurched. That means when people get home from church, they don't act a lot different from the world about them. On a wide range of items, including lying, cheating, and pilferage. There are wide differences found in behavior of the, I like this term. Are you ready for this? You want to qualify? Listen, highly spiritually committed. We shouldn't even have to distinguish. Every Christian should be highly spiritually committed. Amen? Compared to those with less spiritual commitment. The committed show a much higher level of moral conduct. Using the various means of study, only 10 to 12% of the population are what the Gallup survey calls highly spiritually committed. The report indicates they are a breed apart from the rest. I like that. A breed apart from the rest of the populace. They are more satisfied with life, happier, and more involved in helping others. The majority of church people, those less committed, fall in the category of nominal Christians. And their ethical behavior is a little different from the unchurched. That means that if the level of the country's morals and ethics is to be brought up to the level of religious interest, then the church must do a better job of strengthening people's spiritual commitment. The obvious truth is that many people who are professing Christians... That the obvious truth is that a great deal of difference exists, rather, in the attitudes and actions of many people who are professing Christians than those who are not. It's got to make a difference to know Jesus Christ and to follow him. How many want to be highly spiritually committed in him? If you're highly spiritually committed, you don't have to initially say a word. The Bible said you will be like a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. Isn't that a wonderful opportunity to let your light so shine before men? Amen. How best to do that than becoming a city set on a hill? Amen. Which cannot be hid. There are people here tonight that's lost your joy because you're harboring a hurt or a grudge. You can't shine like that. Can you say amen? Your light just can't shine. Because those good works that you have the potential to do, you won't do because you're stagnant and stymied by something that's holding you back. God wants to unshackle you and set you free tonight. Can you say amen? God wants you to get past your past so you can be a witness for Him and be serviceable to Him. Praise God. To every one of us is given the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. It gets exciting when you know that your life is counting for God. It really does. These highly spiritually committed will stand in distinct contrast to the apostate church of the last days. Amen. That's not Gallup. That's Brother Venable. Amen. There's no doubt about it. You live a committed Christian life, and even in church, you're going to be different. Amen. And it's wonderful. I'm glad for a little church of highly spiritually committed than a big church of professing Christians. They profess that they know Him. Titus 1 and verse 16. They profess. See, everybody says if they say it, we must accept it. Titus says no. The epistle of John says no. He that committeth sin lives habitually in sin. Without conviction, without remorse, is of the devil. Titus 1:16 said they profess that they know God. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Yeah. Who said that, Brother Venable? No, I quoted an apostle of Jesus Christ in a book called...
The what?
The Bible. The Bible. The Holy Bible. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. Words from a holy God. Who changes not. He hasn't changed His mind on that issue. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Being unto every good work abominable and reprobate. Works don't save you, but works confirm that you have been saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is not legalism, amen, in conflict with grace. This is the outworking of grace in our life. Hallelujah. It reflects a changed life. How many appreciate the Salvation Army? I'm not talking about for the bargains. I'm talking about for initially. They were down there beating drums and singing hymns and leading people to Jesus back when the street ministry was really doing a mighty work. General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, gave a warning of great spiritual danger to the Christian church. And there's six things. I'm going to say them quickly. Number one is religion without the Holy Spirit. Say it with me. Religion without the Holy Spirit. That means that we're so good at doing church, if He doesn't show up, no one notices. There's no conviction. And people just make mental decisions. Some mama drags a 12-year-old that don't know what's hardly going on. He says, would you rather go to heaven or hell? Let me see. I'd like to go to heaven. And come on down front. Accept Jesus. Be baptized. That's all there is or ain't no more. That's religion without the Holy Spirit. No man comes to me except my Father draw him. And when people truly come to Christ, they are drawn by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mike, you could have witnessed for 100 years if you lived that long to this lady. Of course, you'd have to live a little longer than 100. Can you say amen? But she wouldn't have come to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit got a hold of her heart. But He did it. I call Him lovingly and respectfully the Hound of Heaven. Can you say amen? He hounded me. I'm glad He didn't give up on me. Aren't you glad He didn't give up on you? Religion without the Holy Spirit. Christianity, and this sounds like an oxymoron, but it isn't. Listen, Christianity without Christ. Did you know there are brands of so-called Christianity out there today that do not teach that Jesus is the only way to God? Amen. It is a pseudo-Christian faith. It is a Christian faith that no longer acknowledges Christ as the central figure of it anymore. A Christian faith, so-called, which isn't faith at all, that wants to be more socially relevant and politically correct than to actually please God. Christianity without Christ. William Booth back then was concerned that the church was moving away from the stand that we should take concerning the centrality of Jesus Christ to the Christian faith. And then forgiveness without repentance. No true repentance. No sorrow for sin. See, that's not a work. That's not an act so much as it is an attitude of the heart. So many people walk the aisle, shake a preacher's hand, sign up to be baptized at the next event, and they've never turned from their sin. They've never even told God, like Pamela said, I'm sorry for my sin. They haven't been convicted by the Holy Spirit. That's religion without the Holy Spirit. It produces trying to receive forgiveness without repentance. Salvation without regeneration. Regeneration? If any man be in Christ, something has changed dramatically. He's a new creation. That's through the regeneration, the Bible said, of the Holy Spirit. You hear a lot about religion. You don't hear much about regeneration. You must be what? Born again. Born from above. Or you can't enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. God has to change us from the inside out. Everybody say, from the inside out. Politics without God. We're headed then in that direction. It's more pronounced now. Of course, politicians, to get the Christian vote, will make allusions to God. But you rarely see them live out the Christian faith in the political arena. They're kind of like chameleons. Whatever you put them on, they change to that color. If they preach it, if they come to speak at a prayer breakfast, they speak in glowing terms about God, but you put them in another setting and they barely mention Him. Heaven, number six, heaven without hell. We're already there. We're already there. We're already there. There are preachers boasting tonight that they never mention hell in their messages. Kind of strange that Jesus, our Master, talked about it more than heaven in the New Testament. You can't have a devil with, we can't have Christ without the devil, and you can't have heaven without hell. And yet we've got churches all over America that never even mention the eternal banishment and punishment of the lost. And the lost, therefore, are not challenged the way God wants to, so He can convict them of their sin. Jesus is kind of just one of many options they have. And if they don't take that option, it's no big deal. It's such a big deal that Jesus hung between heaven and earth so we would not be lost. Can you say amen? Well, I want to be part of the highly spiritually committed. I don't believe in religion without the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe in Christianity without Christ. I don't believe there is a church without Jesus being the centerpiece. I don't believe in forgiveness without repentance. I don't believe there's any way that a priest or a preacher can tell you that you're right with God if you're not willing to turn from your sin. Can you say, man, I believe in order to be saved, you must repent, because Jesus said, John the Baptist had a message, cost him his head in the end. They'd love to chop mine off if it wasn't illegal. And it's not just the world that love to do that. Amen. Christians that are compromising don't love me either. And they don't love you if you stand for Jesus Christ tonight. Listen very carefully. Amen. Repent and make the crooked path straight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. What about Jesus? What He talk about? He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. God requires that we be sorry for our sin. It's not some kind of, just shake the preacher's hand, have a priest or preacher give you absolution. No one has that kind of authority but Jesus Christ. Thank you for the muffled amen. Just the truth anyway. I know you can do better. I trust you tonight. Politics without God. Politics without God. Politics without God. Amen. While we're talking about that, be prayerful, because the Republican convention is coming here, and whether it was Democrat or Republican, but boy, there's a lot of radical, hate-filled people. If you mention God or morals or the Ten Commandments or anything like that, that are filled with angst and anger. I've never seen a more highly politically charged atmosphere than we're living in right now. And the devil would love to have some terrible event occur right here in our city because of a convention and the kind of people it's going to draw in. It's going to draw in ACT UP. I'm sure that they will show up. And they're the people that would love to burst through that door. This is their mandate to come in. If we mention one word against sexual perversion, they're liable to bust through that door and try to disrupt this meeting we're having right here. The group is called ACT UP, and they're advocates for homosexuality. Amen. And if you just mention that the Bible condemns it, they say that you are a hate monger, that you are a homophobic. No, I'm not afraid of somebody that has some kind of sexual preference that the Bible condemns. It's not about people. And here's something that we need to clearly understand. We are at war. There's no if, and, but about it. So you might as well just strap on. That's why the Bible said endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because if you're going to stand for Jesus in this generation, you might as well just put your armor on. Because we're at war, folks. This light-darkness conflict is coming to a head. I got good news for you. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has no defense against it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The darkness comprehendeth it not. We're on the winning side of this thing, but we got to stand for the Lord. And then there's heaven without hell. Amen. I'm so glad that there will be souls in heaven that would have went to hell had not we carried the gospel, Sister Venable. When I think about where I would be if I started at Tampa Electric at 21 years of age, I am now 65. If I had stayed with Tampa Electric, if my math is correct, it would be 44 years. I expect that I would be making over $20 an hour. I expect I would have the job that the friend I started with has, something similar. You don't pay your light bill. He's got an air-conditioned picking-up truck. He's got a little hat that he wears. He's got a little old Tampa Electric shirt, and he will come out and take your meter. He won't climb no pole, get near no bad electricity. He would just pull thy meter. Can you say amen and seal it out? When you run down there and sell your Coke bottles or whatever they do now to pay it anyway, when you run down there and pay it, he will turn around and come back to your house. And he will unseal your meter, flip it upside down, stick it back in, reseal it, and you will have electricity again. And he does it, amen, and he makes all that money, and he's going to retire. I asked him about retiring one day several years ago. He said, why should I retire? I'm sopping up all this gravy. Everybody say, I know you know how to do it. Praise God. Amen. I'm sopping up this gravy. That means I don't have to get up there on that pole no more and do all of that. All I have to do is drive out. My hands are clean. I'm not in harm's way. People hate to see me come to turn it off, but they're so glad to see me when I come back to turn it back off. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. She said hallelujah off loud. I don't know what that means. But we've all been, hey, you can just mess up. They will cut your lights off. Can you say amen? But God is so good. Now, here's the deal. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hold on to your faith. Don't be afraid to tell somebody what Christ has done for you. To every man, every one of us is given the ministry of reconciliation. You have a testimony that can change a destiny of a soul. You have a testimony. And it's not, you don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to know that. We can teach sometime on the ways to witness, maybe give you confidence, the Roman road or the four spiritual laws, I think, is one of the finest out there. We've all sinned and come short. So we're not condemning you. We're letting you know that we all need a salvation. It's some good tracks out there. But ultimately, the greatest track is you and me. Can you say amen? The Bible said we are living epistles. We are letters from God to this fallen world, written and read by all men. Praise God. You're sowing seed just by being a true blue, honest to God, not sinlessly perfect, but a real, genuine follower of Jesus Christ. This I don't think I would have come across this guy if it wasn't for Dougie, because his name is Dougie March. He was in 7 prisons in England. When you go through 7 jails, you've got some real serious sin issues and bondage in your life. He was violent. He was involved with gangs. He was involved with drugs. And Dougie March, we may have to get Ruth to interpret. He has the, you know, I think it's more of a Cockney accent, which is, you know, the It isn't the upper crust in England. We would need her to interpret that as well. Can you say? Hallelujah. But you know what I got from Dougie March? And what God is doing with him and through him without an organization, he's just sharing Jesus and his testimony with anybody that will listen. That's his ministry. Amen. To go in all the world, preach Christ to every preacher is not for some large, huge evangelistic association. It's for people just like you and just like me. Can you say amen? Just to share Jesus with anybody and everybody at every opportunity to be instant in, out. And when someone has that zeal for the Lord, amen, it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Praise God. Well, listen closely, because Dougie's not all that easy to understand. Amen. And he's talking to people in a rehab place. He's just sharing a little bit about what God's doing in his life. And what I love about him, he's down to earth. And God is using him behind the scenes in a mighty and wonderful way. And yet he doesn't take any credit for that. Gives the glory all to God. And miracles are occurring as he just follows the simple promptings of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And we all have that capability in this room. So listen very carefully. I think you're going to like this man's testimony.
Well, the strangest thing happened to us today. So I can't even remember who it was, but he said, somebody said, "Oh, you're from Newcastle, do you speak English?" I said, "Well, I can try, you know." This is me posh voice.
No, we're not.
Yes. You know, there's only two good football teams in the northeast of England, Newcastle United and Newcastle United Reserves. Why are they playing so badly? I've been a Christian for 21 years, and I'm just going to quickly tell you how I got saved. I want to really major on the second part, because I think it's important, because as I've come across Christians in my travels, I seem to meet Christians who get stuck from, they're saved, but what is the will of God for their life? And I find that when people backslide, it's often because they haven't got something that they can really get into and own and say, this is what the Lord's called me to do. So, in a nutshell, I'm from Biker in the east end of Newcastle, and I think I was about 30 till I really realised it's against the law to hit somebody. You know, because that was what you did when you argued with someone. If you're losing the argument, you hit them. So, but by that time, I'd been in seven prisons by the time I discovered it was wrong. And, so I've been in Brixton, and I've been in a few prisons. And the thing that shocked me about prison was I expected to see loads of heroes, like, you know, good cons, you know, good decent cons, and I found loads of people in the war that were kind of, you know, when you got your meal, if you didn't eat it straight away and you went to do something else, you'd come back and there'd be a sausage missing. So I had three fights in the first week that I was in prison. I got put in the prison within the prison. So I lived a violent life, and you know, violence is—it's not glamorous. You know, when you're really in it, it can overtake your life. You can get killed by it. You can get maimed, and I've been in like a lot of violent situations, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm still here. You know, when I became a Christian, God took the violence out of us. But he still gave us a violent spirit against the devil. You know, it's being violent for the right things. You know, Jesus was violent against evil when he turned the tables over. And so God sort of took the wrong type of violence and made it and turned it into a kind of zeal. So when I got saved, you know, I'm not really going to go there because there's not really that much time. But God sent two girls on the street to talk to us, and they took us to church, and then I got saved. And when I got saved, I knew I was called to preach the gospel. I was called to go out there and tell people about Jesus, because it made such a difference to me. And I was violent, I was a womanizer, I was in a drug dealing gang, I was up to everything. I was like, you know, in a grown up body, one of these nosy kids. I don't know if you've ever seen gypsy kids, but when they see you, they're kind of looking at you and seeing if you've got anything, you know. And I was like that as an adult. I used to go to parties and go prowling in the fridge and go prowling around the house and chat people's mothers up and things like that. Crazy. And then, you know, get into fights with the neighbours, and it was all crazy. But when Jesus saved us, I kind of knew that there was people still like that out there, and somebody had to tell them. So God called us to preach the gospel on the streets, which I've done, and I've been to 38 countries around the world. And God is a provider, and God does make divine appointments, and I have them like all the time. To me, it's just normal now. I don't kind of get as amazed as I used to. Wow, I better phone people. The divine appointment. I just say, thank you, Lord. And I just get on with it. And I'm here by a divine appointment. But as I've went round the world, you know, the gospel works. People do get saved. It might not be as fast as we want them to get saved. I mean, it took me 30 years. Yet I want people to get saved, like, just because they've heard me preach once on the street corner. I'm like, well, come on, then get saved. It took me 30 years. And I'm like, what's wrong with these people, Lord? So we've got to be patient. We've got to sow seeds and water these seeds and love people. But if you've got enough contacts, you know, with people out there, eventually that one's going to be ready. This one's nearly ready to get saved. This one's got saved, and this one's just heard the gospel for the first time, so he might have a bit longer to go. But I've seen God doing amazing things. I was in Africa, and I'd been out there for 5 months, and when I got back, somebody thought that I was going to go. So he started a lecture and said, well, Dougie, you know, when you go out to Africa, it's best to just go out for a couple of weeks, you know, to get it. And then the next time, maybe go up for 3 weeks. And I've just come back. I've been out there for 5 months. I was like, okay, brother, you know, the lecture not needed. The guy I went out with, we were debating about malaria tablets. And he said, you've got the strong type in the... Well, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I was giving it like, tell us about it, you know. Malaria tablet. You've got the strong type and the weak type. So I'm like, right, strong type, weak type. And he goes, the strong type, if you have a certain disposition, sometimes gives you funny dreams. So I'm like, funny dreams, the strong type. And the weak type, they're kind of weak. And if you take the weak type, you might catch malaria because they're kind of weak. So he goes, so what type do you want to take, Dougie? I was like, oh, it's like being back in school. And then he said, tell us it again. I went, no, I says, well, because the Holy Spirit quickens you. Now, thick people can suddenly have intelligence from God. You know what I mean? It's a quickening. It's a quickening, isn't it? The Holy Spirit quickens you. So I just went, well, I'm going to take a strong type and I'm going to rebuke the side effects. So what happened? So I went out there and never had any funny dreams. I should have told him I have funny dreams anyway. I had less funny dreams when I went out there. He took the weak type, I took the strong type, rebuked the side effects. He got malaria and nearly died. And I was going around Africa on my own with a note saying, you know, Peter's like got malaria and like I'm the evangelist, but and they were saying, well, you'll have to teach the pastors as well. So I'm preaching sometimes 5 times a day. That is in prisons, that is at funerals, that is in churches, that is at youth clubs, that is on the street, that is even preaching in a slaughterhouse. You know, the Christian fellowship in a slaughterhouse. Yeah. And I get back and start telling these stories, and they were like, do you think Toby's making it up? You know? And he says, you couldn't make stories like these up. You know? So I seen God moving, and when I was in Kampala, we were going to this meeting, and I saw this crowd. And I'm an ex sort of street trader type. So I see the crowd, and I'm like, oi, oi, might be something cheap here, you know? So I push us through the crowd, and there's a guy lying in the dust, and he's been sick, And so I said to, you know, and there's a crowd and there's the radio there and the newspapers are taking photographs of him. So I said, well, why is nobody helping him? They said, oh, the guy's dead. So I was like, goodness me. And I'd never ever seen a dead person before. And I kind of like thought, goodness me. And then a girl who was with, she pushed through, what's happened to this guy? I said, oh, he's dead. She went, goodness me. And I goes, I'm getting involved. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but I'm getting involved. So I went forward, got down on my knees and started praying, rebuke the spirit of death, you shall not die but live, and declare, prayed in tongues, everything I could think of. And then I stood up and sort of went to the crowd, well, at least, you know, I've tried to do something. And stepped back, and all of a sudden the bloke sat up and everyone went, whoa! Was the most shocked person, and I was like, thank you, Lord. And I was like, goodness me. And then from the back of the crowd, you hear, Dougie, what are you doing? We're going to be late for the meeting. I went out of the meeting, give him something to eat. And I thought, what do you do with a guy who's just come back from the dead, you know? Give him something to eat, give him something to drink. Right, I've got to go. And I just kind of went. And then 3 days later, it was like somebody was saying before, it was in the paper, the story. You know, and I was like, goodness me, it happened. Sometimes you think, did this really happen? And when you're in Africa, you time after time, is this really happening? The things that God does, obviously, because it's a spiritual, different dimension. I call it Planet Africa. So if you've never been to Africa and you're an evangelist, go there. It's more like it was when Jesus was going around doing the miracles. Because, you know, you just look at Oxford Street, and you look at Leicester Square and all that, and then you read what you read, in the Bible. In Bible, in Oxford Street, it doesn't seem to be the same. But you go to Africa, and I saw over 1,000 people saved in Africa, and all sorts of things. I could go on forever.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged to be a witness for Jesus? Just to follow the Holy Spirit? To go on the adventure of sharing Jesus? Just to give him the opportunity to be a sower of seed? One plants, another waters. God gives the increase. I love what he said about taking 30 years for him to come to Christ, and he wants him to get saved right after he preaches. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're impatient, and we need to be persistent and patient and keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't be going to the nations of the world and to so many states in America if we were not patiently pursuing, amen, the Lord's call in our life. Praise God. Thank you for helping us and being a part of what the Lord is doing. We're going to have this song, and then we are going to pray tonight together. Right where you're seated, right where you are, we'll stand in a few moments, that God would help us all to be led of His Spirit. You start being led of His Spirit, He's going to lead you past all the things that are distracting, all the things that are disruptive, all the things that would take your eyes off of the harvest field. He's going to lead you so fast past all of that. Can you say, man? And the in order to be that person that God wants to use, and He'll use anybody. Come on, this guy's not eloquent. This guy's not educated. This guy he doesn't even have a title of pastor, I don't think. But he's sharing. D.L. Moody won thousands to Jesus and was never ordained to the gospel ministry, and yet he preached the gospel. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. Jesus still saves today, and the message of the cross is still the message that releases all of that power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
stand right where you are, and we're going to close with that song we had this morning. Praise God. I'm telling you, I feel such an unction. You know, right now in our littleness, right now without all of the things that I would love to see, I feel the Lord speaking to my heart right now. It's time to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. Not when they fill this building, when backsliders come back, when people rededicate, when we start seeing zeal again, but right here with what we have. And I'm looking at you that are here tonight. Praise God. I believe God wants us to prepare for a harvest. I believe He's going to use you and me in a greater capacity in His harvest fields than we have ever dreamed. Can you say, man? I believe that God is going to make those divine appointments that Dougie was talking about. Praise God. I believe He'll do it. And I believe if we are led by the Spirit, He's going to lead us past the things that are distracting us right now from the harvest fields that are white unto harvest. Can you say, man? We're not going to be brought into those fields because of guilt trip or we're shamed into it, but because we actually catch the vision, because we actually raise our eyes, because we actually see the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and our personal testimony combined together. Can you say, man? Because God still saves through the cross of Christ and our testimony. Can you say, man? The Bible said great was the company that published His truth. Great was the company. It wasn't just the apostles, but all those who heard it and shared it with others. Praise God. So let's pray together. How many want your heart cleansed and you want the distractions out of the way? You believe this is worth pursuing in your life. Can you say, man? We're going to have to get past some things, but that's all right. I have to do it weekly. Praise God. There's always something landing at my house. Someone said, what is it? The Bible teaches you can't keep the birds from flying over your head. You keep them from making a nest in your hair. Everybody, you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Can you say, man? Glory to God. You don't have to let those thoughts light there and nest there in your life. Praise God. You can cast down imagination. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, can you say, man, I can lay aside every sin and weight that's creating drag on my life, hallelujah, from pursuing His purpose, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. Father, these people have indicated by upraised hands that they want to get past the things that hold them back, that they, along with me, want to get our eyes back on the prize. We want to be about our Father's business, even as You sent Christ, send us with His message of hope and help, hallelujah, and give us the vision back for souls, Father. Father, cleanse us, cleanse our hearts from the clutter that is built up within them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to be free to serve You. We want to serve You with all of our heart, not with just some of it. We don't want the leftovers for You. We want the top part of our heart, the cream of the crop to be Yours, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, where there is hurt, let there come oil and wine to heal tonight by Your Holy Spirit. Where there is unforgiveness, let there be grace and mercy rising up from within tonight. Father, we don't have time for the pain of nursing past hurts. Lord, the harvest is plenteous. The labors are few. Help us to be about Your business. Help us as we intercede to see souls won out of this community. Father, help them to come into this church. Hallelujah. To be discipled, Father. To be taught, to grow, to be nourished with the Word of God and the love of Jesus. Keep sinning. sending us, Lord, as one to the nations of the world. Hallelujah. As we work together and strive together for the faith of the gospel, let what we stand for here encourage Christians all over the world and all over America. And whoever that is coming to our website consistently from Hollywood, California, we're not impressed with movie stars. Lord, this is a soul, and let that soul be saved if it's not, Lord, and let that person be edified and exhorted and lifting up, and let fire beget fire in Hollywood, California, in the name of Jesus. And let us hear fires in California that are not those kind that devastate homes and houses, but that kind that causes the gospel of Jesus to be proclaimed in Jesus' name and for the glory and honor of God. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I believe God is going to move in all of our lives personally and then corporately and collectively. Praise God. We're not here to spin our wheels and spiritually stagnate. We're here to accomplish something for God. Hallelujah. And I believe your gifts are going to be put into use. I believe God sent you here because there would be no need to send a bunch of people in here without people here with a vision for their soul and a love for them and a concern for them. Can you say amen? Praise God. I believe there are people here that would embrace anyone who comes through that door and love them and accept them regardless of how they're dressed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Regardless of whether they're rich or poor, regardless of the color of their skin. Hallelujah. I believe that the love of God can flow heart to heart right in this very room. Praise God. Amen. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. I'm not excited about the practice of religion in the sense of just all. I'm excited about serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, that's what really excites me. And if I lead somebody to Jesus, it is the greatest event of my life. There's nothing like it. Praise God. If I hear of somebody coming to Jesus, that's where my thrill is. I don't need a roller coaster. That thrills my soul. Praise God. Amen. How many will pray this coming month that there will be a stirring right here among us and you will present yourself to God? Amen. Others are looking around when they come here that need to. Fire begets fire, and their fire has gone out or is going out right now. And we can criticize them. Or we can pray for them, and we can show them by demonstrating the zeal of the Lord in our hearts. Come on, you can't just point your finger at them. We got to show them something that's set in contrast and say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Amen. By the way we're walking. Show them the joy of Jesus. Hallelujah. You got a hold of it tonight. I saw it falling on you over there. Praise God. The joy of Jesus. The anticipation of what God is going to do and will do. Amen. Listen. Let's let them see us going forward, taking strides spiritually. Praise God. Hallelujah. After a while, you stand. Listen, everybody gets excited and turned on and fired up for Jesus in this room. People that are not going to be comfortable. They're going to be challenged without anybody saying a word. They're saying, dear Lord, we're going to be left in the dust if we don't catch up. Can you say, man, I don't want to be left in the dust. I mean, I want to get in line and in league with what God is saying, what God is doing. Praise God. Amen. I can't help it, Sister Venable. I was hesitant to make this statement. It's made by faith, pure, raw faith. I just feel Isaiah 54. God is speaking to me like he spoke to ancient Israel right now, with some falling away and all the things that hold back and discourage and distract. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Praise God. Why? Because God's hand is on us. God's Spirit is among us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's got to count for something. Amen. I can't speak for everybody. I can't speak for everybody. I wish I could. Paul told them, I wish you were all together like me except for these bonds. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. But I can't speak for everybody. But as for me and my house, hallelujah, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. With everything we are and everything we have. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 He's giving praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Me in my house. It gets down to you in your house. Hallelujah. You want your kids to come in? You in your house serve the Lord. Let them see your commitment. Let them know it's genuine, it's authentic, and that Jesus is worth more than all the kingdoms of this world. Can you say, man, let's love him tonight. There's nobody like him. That gives us the edge in witnessing.